Good morning, Rob. Rick and Emily here.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Good. Dave is, maybe will join us later. He has a leak in one of his pipes at home, and he has a contractor there this morning.
Oh, no. Okay.
I know. Seriously. Now, yeah, you're not in the path of this hurricane down in Florida, but you're, are you still up north, or?
Yeah, actually, I'm in Portland, Maine.
Okay, you're safe. But is, you're on the west coast, though, right, of Florida?
Yeah, yeah, but we're south of there.
Okay, so that's just the little panhandle stuff.
Yeah, didn't this one kind of sneak up on us, huh? This
hurricane, yeah, it, like, it seems like it's stronger than anybody anticipated, too.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to be like a Category 1, and it's Category
right.
4.
Yeah.
You know, usually
yeah.
usually they get more, you know, they don't.
Right, they don't increase like that.
Right, they usually get, you know, they always talk about it being Category 4, and it ends up Category 1. And this one, they talked about Category 1, it's going to end up Category 4. So it's,
yeah, that's crazy.
You know, I think we can get a little complacent on these guys, but it's still,
well,
it could,
well, it is,
it could knock out North Carolina. Yeah.
So,
yeah, I know.
Anyway.
But,
anyway, well, good. We're glad we're all safe.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Anyway, so one of the things, I'm going to maybe continue on from what we talked about last time. You weren't on the call.
I was not on last week.
So the last time we were on the call, we were, you know, talking about, I just want to share with him how we lost that one client to Vanguard. Now, since then, Rob, I just want to throw this stuff out and just hear your opinion on it, because obviously we know it's not even the same service model. It is, they're bare bones. It's nothing like what we're doing. But if you look, like even in last week's Barron's, that's all they talked about. The fee compression, not only the mutual funds, but as the, and then it, and they're, and start, I guess the article I gave you is from the Wall Street Journal Monday. It's talking about the advice area is the area where the fee compression hasn't even started yet. And, you know, I do believe, you know, what we do, this Supernova service, is worth it. I was just thinking about, you know, you could always buy a Mercedes or a Chevy. but we're, you know, it's going to be in everybody's face a lot more. I think it is just the beginning. And we heard, what did you say? You showed me the one thing that one of our advisors went to a Vanguard. What was that? That Jim Daly was at?
Oh, there's a Vanguard Investor Day. Jim sent, one of our advisors sent me a tweet from one of the attendees and just saying, you know, where are we going in the future? And it was the financial advisor model is not the future, essentially.
For them?
For us, you know,
right.
that
yeah.
the need for a financial advisor is going to be, you know, declining in the next 10 to 15 years. I personally disagree because I think people are always going to need advice in a relationship, and that's not what Vanguard going to be able to provide.
So, I mean, like, Rob, we're pretty much old school. We've been on the head of the curve on all these things, especially Supernova, staying on top, you know, giving customer service, showing that value. But now it's going to be in, you know, it's in everybody's face somewhere, and it is, you know, what are you paying for advice? It is out there. Now, what we said the last time, and Rob was even talking about, you know, getting ahead of it, especially because, like, one of the reasons when this client left, you know, because we can no longer deduct fees.
Yeah.
I mean, that is going to have an impact. If, you know, just from an accounting, the accountants say, well, here's how you can cut your fees, you're not deductible. They're just going to give them the straight answer. So what are your thoughts, Rob? I mean, I know everybody's coming out with their, you know, where's the future of our industry, but it does, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, I've spent a lot of time on this now and just given it a lot of thought. Of course, this is central to what I teach, and it isn't. I've always believed that our role is going to move more and more from financial advice to holistic advice on the entire life. And so we move from being financial experts to being life coaches. And that's, 5 years, 10 years away, but, in reality, people pay good money to life coaches to help them through their life issues. And every single client in every part of their life needs a good coach. Now, they don't always have them, and they can't afford them sometimes, but our clients can. So if there isn't a client that you have right now that isn't dealing with some issue, whether it's getting a child into college or it's handling mom, you know, that service that's on TV, A Place for Mom, that's a whole business. And we can be very helpful in that because of our enthusiastically endorsed list. Every time I have one of these conversations, we come back to that golden Rolodex of enthusiastically endorsed professionals and how critical that is to you in terms of bringing value to your client. So as your conversations evolve and they need a coach, they need a person to get them, their child into the right college, there are coaches for that. There's places you can hire consultants to help you find the right place for mom. And for you to have those, you know, I went through a problem with my mom, you know, full disclosure, you know, at later ages, she, as many elderly do, she drank too much. And so she had a real serious problem. And so we had to do an intervention. We had a coach, we hired a coach for that. And we intervened and we, you know, at that time took mom and put her in a, you know, a rehab facility, and very nice. And she was very compliant, went through the whole thing, and she never drank again.
Wow.
And then she lived with us for, you know, in our community for 10 years after that, and progressed through the entire life cycle of independent living, assisted living, memory care, health care, and then hospice. And, you know, your ability to guide others through those processes of life can be incredibly helpful to the average client who's going through it for the first time and doesn't really, who else are they going to share this stuff with?
Yeah.
Who else do they really have confidence in? They're not gonna. I mean, they're going to be ashamed and they're going to not want to tell anybody. And so it's going to, they shouldn't be, but I mean, everybody goes through these things. Well, how about healthcare issues? And you've got a golden Rolodex of the best healthcare providers in the community. Cancer, right? Everybody's cancer is different. It's very complicated. And, you know, who are the best specialists? And so as a firm, developing that kind of network throughout the country could be incredibly helpful to your highest net worth clients and giving them access to the right health care, the things that they can't really get.
Yeah.
People with money want access. We talk about this all the time, right? In terms of the fun things, they want access. They have the money. They just don't take the time.
Yeah.
And so they've got money. They don't have as much time as they'd like. And they want access. And for those people that provide them access, they're willing to pay for it. Right? Everybody wants to have front row seats in the U.S. Open, but who can provide those? You know, do they bother going to the scalper or they call somebody? Right? Just hopefully they call somebody and they provide them tickets to this and that. That's a great service. Now, you should have that guy's name.
Yeah.
You know, you should have a reputable company that can do that sort of thing, and that's part of your networking. That's part of this golden Rolodex, or we call it enthusiastically endorsed list of professionals. And, you know, over the last couple of years, we've been working on that, and in terms of kind of refining the idea and refining it, it's more powerful than anything. And what it becomes is a network. You know, we talk about centers of influence, developing centers of influence, and then a mastermind group that can introduce you to anybody in the community. In reality, Rick, this is friend making. This is developing friends. This network becomes a group of your best friends. And so when you think about who should be in this group, you think about, okay, how many centers of influence do I have that I'm also really good friends with? And shouldn't I take the time to find those people and develop them as friends? And what we do and what we teach is a process that may take 10 years to develop or 20 years to develop that friendship. By doing it intensely, you can do it in 24 months. You can be good friends with somebody in 24 months. And that's by meeting with them monthly instead of meeting with them, you know, randomly. And by intensely determining that that person, it's kind of like courting, you know. Yeah. You can take 5 years to court somebody, or you can get intense and see them a lot and figure out whether it's a good match or not. And that's really what you're doing. And once it's a good match, then it's not, then you don't, you, people say, well, I don't think they want to meet monthly. Well, if you're good friends, you do.
Yeah.
You know, you could have lunch every month and you'd have a blast. Yeah. If you were friends. And that's the part I think that's been missing in this whole thing. People think of it as a business thing, you know. Meet somebody that's a super CPA, but he's, you know, he's 20 years older than I am. We don't have anything in common. Well, of course you're not going to have, it's not going to be a great relationship. But if you pick somebody that's in similar age, similar interests, like, for example, tennis, right?
Yep.
Maybe they're involved in an organization that you're involved with, a charity. They're the CPA for the charity. You both play tennis. I mean, now you really got something to go on. And so the relationship you build there is similar to the relationship, you know, your clients become your friends become your clients.
Yeah.
So those are the things that keep us from making the decision to go low cost, right? We fought, remember, $95 a trade for IBM, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's $4.95 a trade for IBM. I mean, this is the battle we've been fighting since 1974.
Yeah.
So it's in reality, it's something where we have to constantly be providing value added. Price is only a consideration in the absence of value.
Yeah.
And so where we kind of question our value, that's where, you know, that's where we've got some issues.
Yeah.
So what, you know, it all begins with a financial plan. It all begins with updating the financial plan. The financial plan says, I'm willing to take the time to care about you. And people that don't do financial planning are saying, I don't want to take the time to care about you. Okay? I just want to get a trade, or I just want to get paid, or I just want to monitor your portfolio. Well, people, you know, today, figure this thing out. They're smarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the big mystery it used to be. Now, you know, we go into whether or not it's a bear market or a flattening market, but a more tumultuous market. And then people kind of scurry back to the nest, you know, and they start to value what you have to say.
Yeah.
But this is the time when your 12-4-2s become very important. So what are we, you know, is this a slowdown in the middle of a bull market? Or are we topping out? What should I be doing, Rick, you know? Now's the time when your guidance can be of value. And they really want to hear. And they stop thinking about price.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was just thinking about your Mercedes dealer. You know, they only lost, how many did they say? They lost in Katrina, they lost like, I don't know, 400,000 cars or something. And in this last hurricane, they didn't lose enough cars to affect the cycle. So the car dealers are going, yeah, baby, come on, hurricane.
So, Rob, to your point there about it all begins with a financial plan, you know, Dave and Rick have always, you know, really embraced planning. You know, are there you know, really good, like, ways to re-engage and things to say, you know, I know we've already done, you know, your goals. We've talked about, you know, the things that you want to achieve between now and kind of the end of your plan. You know, how do we go back and have some more, those deeper conversations where it gets into that holistic life coaching?
Well, I think that's a great question. I mean, I think one of the things you can say is you can do it formally or informally. All right. So let's say that it's been 2 years since you did your original financial plan. You can simply re-engage and say, hey, you know, it's been 2 years. No, it has not. Yeah, it's really been 2 years since we did your original financial plan. So I'd like to kind of reprofile you and update the plan. So, you know, come on in. So this is, remember, it's 12-4-2, right? Mm-hmm. So in that 2, it's not just supposed to be a review of performance.
Right.
It's supposed to be a review of the financial plan. The modern way I look at the 12-4-2 is not 12-4-2. The 2 with 4, you know, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person. Those are reviews of the portfolio. I mean, right. Reviews of the plan, excuse me. Reviews of the plan. And so, in those 4 conversations, even the ones in on the phone, they can be reviews of the portfolio. Now, what needs to be reviewed? what's changed? I mean, that's what we always ask, right? Well, the first question out of your mouth is, you have your agenda. So before we get into my agenda, what's on your mind? Just like I do when we start this conversation, what's on your mind? And there's always something. So what's changing? My daughter, my son, he's redoing a house out here in Oregon, and he needed more money. So we upped his line of credit. You know, I become the bank, and I lend him another $50,000 so he can, you know, finish the house. We add that on to his mortgage payments. I become the bank. He can deduct the interest. And we skip the whole process of lending money through a bank and all the points and all that garbage.
Right.
And he just pays me, and then my CPA sends him a statement that says, this is your mortgage interest deduction. And so, it's pretty cool. People don't know that. Most people don't know they can do that. You know, most parents don't know they can do that.
So, wait a second. So you're doing a line of credit or something like that, right?
I'm doing a secured line of credit on, you know, based on a portfolio of securities, and lending both of my children their mortgages. And then I worked it out and just checked,
But the CPA, I mean, it would be qualified as, you know, interest deductibility and all. I mean, they can take the interest.
Yeah, because think about it. I mean, you don't need to register as a bank. I mean, all you need to do is send in the form, and you've got the documents. You've got to sign the documents. They make the payments just like in the bank, and we send them the forms, and they deduct the interest.
That's so pretty. You know, I'm just thinking about that because we just had our lender. Robin was in here yesterday. She's our the lending person, and we always talk about. And I've basically been having more people, paying off their lines of credit right now. But that's a wonderful, because everybody, I mean, as it turns out, everyone wants to help the kids do something more. And you're right, if they go through without the whole process
and without giving them the money, right? You don't want to spoil your kids. You want them to feel like they're earning it. And they are. But you can facilitate your children's situation.
Sure.
It's like helping them find the right person to get into the right school and, do it at an early age and figure out what you need and guide you through that process. Because you have one child and everybody else has got, 5 kids and they know how to do it because they're on the 5th kid. But you, this is your first time trying to figure this thing out. And so having that help because you can afford it. Not everybody can have a personal trainer. But if you're financially... I mean, people should take advantage of the fact that they are financially comfortable, right? So, I mean, your clients are. They're paying off their lines of credit, paying off their mortgages. They don't have mortgages. But they can hire a personal trainer every week to make sure they stay on track 2 or 3 times a week. They can hire a tennis coach, right? They can have their own coach.
Yeah.
And they can afford it. It's not going to make a dent. And yet people don't. So I always tell people, you know, your job as a financial advisor is to either tell people to spend less or to tell people to spend more.
Yeah.
Because no one is spending the right amount.
So I'm just thinking about my best clients, obviously. It is. They're almost like friends. They you know, they don't even question it.
Yeah.
They're not even looking at the fees. They're not even checking it. Because it's just part of, you know, they're usually, I mean, I'm thinking, right, for business people, they don't really, they're not looking to nitpick. I mean, we got a few of them that, like a Hogan, who's a big, you know, he wants to question every little fee and stuff like that, but the majority of the good clients aren't bringing that up because we are doing most of these other things.
But now's the time, Emily, to your point, now's the time to have this meeting and have this conversation and really, really say, look, guys, you know, you might have been voluntary before, but now it's mandatory. Okay? I'm sorry, but these things are mandatory. You got to do 1242. You got to do financial planning. You got to really be involved with your clients. You've got to develop your network of enthusiastically endorsed professionals. You've got to do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you are vulnerable.
I
mean,
I would bring up like an addendum, you know, that again from a marketing and compliance standpoint, you know, we'd have to figure out how to get that done. But I remember seeing something where Rick has the financial plan that talks about goals, and then you know, clients, you know, what are their in you know enthusiastically endorsed contacts, and where do they have gaps that we could connect, you know, with our other clients that we have made. Like I would see something that's like a formal like. This is something that we're running into more and more with our clients. You know, we've done the financial plan, but now we want to take it to the next step. You know, what is that next step? And maybe it's creating that list of all those other services and just making connections and integrating clients, to other clients.
No, I mean, it is because that's the part that can't be duplicated. You know.
All right, so let's... I mean, just for a minute, just to remind you guys. So in that number, we're required to give three names for every time we introduce somebody, and that protects us from obvious losses.
Right.
So how do you get the list? You ask every client and every friend and every person that you know, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, attorney, family law, attorney, your commercial realtor, residential realtor, and then let's just use the CPA idea. You get one CPA that you meet with monthly, the second CPA you meet with quarterly, and the third CPA you meet semi-annually. So taking on the baseball analogy, you got one up at bat, you got one on deck, and you got one in the dugout. And you constantly are monitoring and working with that group, and that's for every thing. Now, so this is a big job, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you're constantly developing that list. Now, you may have a list of medical practitioners that you monitor, and maybe you don't meet with them as often, but you keep up with them, okay?
Yep.
So you have, you know, and you can use a network, like for example, orthopedic surgeon, okay, will have a network of doctors that refer to him. Okay, so he can teach you how to develop your network in that particular area. Who are the docs that are really good? Who are the internists to refer to him? All right, and let's say you've got an oral surgeon. They live off of dentists. So they can teach you who are the great dentists around. And then the same thing with dentists. The dentist will tell you who are the great oral surgeons. You know, and we, of course, we have lived this life, you know, 70 plus. So I can tell you that this is real. I mean, you need to know who is the good dentist, who is the good doctor, who's the good oral surgeon, you know, who is the guy for this particular. And to have that list, and to keep it up. So maybe you only meet with one person in each of these groups. So you've got a neurosurgeon who's a good friend, and you play tennis with him. Well, he's the guy that you meet with on a monthly basis, have lunch, and he keeps you up to date on who are all the other people in his network that you refer to. So instead of meeting with all, you know, four other people that are related, you meet with him. You know, in surgery, they know who the best anesthesiologist is. So, you know, you don't need to have, you know, they have their own network. And so you keep up. So you build your network off of their network. And then, you know, once or twice a year, you bring all these people together. Not everybody's going to make it, but say you have a holiday party. And you bring them together. And you make, and you give them a nice holiday party, right? Hors d'oeuvres and drinks and maybe you take them to a show or, you know, Nutcracker or, you know, but it's a nice chance to get this whole group together. And guess what? They get to know each other and refer to each other. And you become the center of influence in the community. You become the guy with the golden Rolodex. And that becomes incredibly valuable. And you don't let anybody in that isn't trusted. And I think we've talked about this before. You don't refer anybody into your network unless they can be trusted. Meaning no clients come in. You don't just give this out. You only give it to clients that are, like you said, they're good clients, they don't question, you know, mm-hmm. they pay for things. I mean, I've talked to you about this. You know people that you wouldn't refer into that network. You might be friends with them, but you know they're not nice to people. You know, they're not nice to the waitress. They're not nice to anybody. They're just mean people. And they question things, and they, you know, they're people won't work for them because they don't pay on time or they don't pay at all.
Yeah.
So those are the people you keep out of your network. And you make that clear to everybody. You don't let anybody into our network unless they can be trusted. They're good people. No jerks allowed. So
yeah.
this becomes a whole business, Emily. You see this? This becomes, you become a connector. Okay? This is a whole business that you're starting here. And this is how business is done. We often don't know it, but this is the way business is done, in particularly in small towns. They know, you know, you either behave as your kind of persona non grata.
So the biggest thing about this, and this is what I've learned over the years, I mean, if this is a long-term thing. This is not a short-term. Give me a client, you know, how many clients am I getting? And, you know, because we did an event 3 months ago. And that's why, I mean, Dave can't be on the call, but I have to temper his. I said, Dave, it's for long term. You know, we're just developing a relationship, and you can't force these things. You can't force somebody to cut. Yeah, we do. So, we were at a meeting last week in Philly. We had our regional, whatever it was. What was that?
So we hosted a top advisor meeting down in Philadelphia. And we had, you know, Ted was there at a market level. Brett Smithy was there from a divisional level.
Now, do you know Brian Hall?
Yeah.
He's a male.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
So he's our...
I know all
the
those
head people. Of Small Business in America, USS.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So he's a good guy, and he's very... But we actually had a chance to talk to him one-on-one, but we were sitting at dinner together, and, you know, we were just talking about stuff in general, and... one of the guys, or next to me, was a younger guy from Pittsburgh, Brian... Mm-hmm.
Tarquinia,
whatever. So, anyway, as it turns out, Brian was saying he met him years ago when he was a younger advisor or something. He just hit it off. And so Brian Hall is mentoring him.
Mm-hmm.
So, him and I were talking about, you know, A, doing the right thing,
yeah.
Trust, and developers' relationships, but doing the right thing, doing the right thing, doing the right thing. And I even told Brian Hall afterwards, I said, I'm glad to hear that was his message, too, from the firm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's over time, but you do the right thing. And he had so he told this guy, Brian, he said, short-term altruistic,
yeah.
long-term greedy. So you just basically do the right thing on the short term, and that's my motto, you know, the long-term takes care of itself. But, you know, it was refreshing to hear, though, because, you know, we've been in the business long enough, and it was never an idea, but it's do the right thing. But this does take more time and effort, and it's not an immediate gratification type thing, because it takes time to develop these relationships, but they're true. Like
you know how you put pressure? You know how you put pressure on it? You know how you put pressure on the system, meaning create more of a sense of urgency. You know how you do that?
What?
It's the opposite of what you would normally think. We think of, how can I get more?
Right.
What you do is you give more.
Yeah.
Okay? You way overweight the scale. If you think of it as a law of nature, okay, the law of reciprocity, the rule of reciprocity is going to come into effect if the people are the right choices. If you've chosen givers, if you've chosen the right people in your network, how do you increase your sense of urgency about getting introductions? By giving introductions. How do you get the possibility of giving more introductions? By asking not just your clients, but everyone the question. Can you enthusiastically endorse your blank? Okay? This should come out on your list every conversation you're having, everywhere, anytime. Okay? So let's just say you're at a tennis match and you came to the guy next to you. By the way, you know, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? I'm always looking. Actually, a client of mine is looking for a new CPA. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Guy says, oh, he's great. Okay, terrific. No, he's terrible. I need a new one.
Yeah.
Okay? So you're going to get 70% of the time you're going to get a neutral, right? But the other times, the other 30%, you're either going to 15% of the time you're going to get a, he's fabulous, and the other 15% you're going to get, oh, I need a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this isn't a prospecting question. This is a great question. And you can ask it of anybody, anytime, anywhere, right? Just give them a rationale for why you're asking. My client needs a new CPA. I'm kind of checking around the community. I'm looking for a really good guy in this community, in this part of the community, in this part of town. By the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your... Do you have a lawyer? You know, do you have a family lawyer? You know, I've got a client that's getting divorced. So whatever it is, guy's going through, you know, situation medically. Can you enthusiastically endorse your cardiologist? Yeah, I love him. You know, he's fabulous, blah, blah, blah. So you're constantly doing this. And then when they say, no, I need a guy, then you're constantly giving. So how do you monitor your activity? You monitor the amount of gifts you give, okay? You monitor the amount of introductions you're giving. And so that's why we modify the game board, which is our activity board, calling it the giving board. So instead of just monitoring your activity and the amount of times you meet with a center of influence or mastermind group or meet with a board of directors or whatever activity you're engaged in, you're also monitoring the amount of times you're given introductions. And we're not just getting names, remember, we're giving full-on introductions. Because we want them to come together. You say, well, that takes more time. Yes, but it's much more valuable because both parties then will recognize you've gone to some effort instead of just giving a name. You've actually introduced them on the phone, or you've introduced them in person, or you've introduced them with an email. But you introduced them, you didn't just give them a name. Never give them just a name. And never take a name. Always ask for an introduction. Never take a name. Okay, so these are kind of the fundamentals. You know, what are the fundamentals we're going to get back to in terms of building our practice? These are the fundamentals.
Yeah.
There's a process here. It's not just a nice thing to do. Okay? The giving board is real. And those that have a full giving board and have given 30 or 40 or 50 introductions will get 10 new relationships, okay? Because people will not stand for it where they don't introduce you. You're helping me. What can I do for you? Ask the question. By the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And you know today, you know, bigger percentage than ever that people are looking for a new advisor. So teach them how to say what you're saying. Teach them what you're doing. This isn't a secret now. You tell them and teach them, oh, this is how I do it. Do this. And then monitor them. Remember, when you're teaching, look at me. I'm teaching you a process you know. I've taught it to you before. But did it stick? No. As well, you do it instinctively, but you don't do it as a process. Okay, so my job is to remind you. Plato said learning is remembering. So my job is to remind you. So what's your job? Your job is to teach your clients, your centers of influence, your friends to do this. So how often do you have to remind them? How long does it take for them to learn this? As long as it takes. Meaning, it's not 21 days to form a habit. It's as long as it takes.
Yeah.
And then you remind them again, right? I mean, do people always work out? No. They go on and off and on and off. The people that are the most successful, though, with working out, stay off the path the least amount of time. They get right back on. They get off for a little bit, and then they get right back on. People that have the most trouble with weight and conditioning and all that are people that get off the path and don't get back on.
Right.
So what are the keys to having, what are the keys to getting a person back on the path? Having a coach, having a person that monitors their behavior and makes sure that the game board is up and walks by and sees the game board and says, oh, you were using the game board. Yes, meeting every Monday. So, Emily, that's your job. My job is to give you the good ideas. I can't be there, though. You can be there. You can see. If we do one thing, it's to put up the game board and monitor. Are you meeting every Monday and talking about being enthusiastically endorsed with and getting new people and connecting and giving introductions? Yes, we gave 12 introductions last week. People said, you know, how many meetings should I have? Well, think about it. How many introductions could you give physically in a week? I bet you could give 12.
And what a good thought as we roll into kind of year-end. And instead of, because I always hate year-end where the business plan is like,
yeah.
What gross production growth do you want next year? You know,
right.
I think what a better way to think about it is just that activity and have Rick and Dave really pick one or two of those items to focus in on and track it, you know, whether it's a game board, Excel, whatever the method.
Right.
No greater thing, but, I think.
The magic of a game board is it's visible. An Excel you put away and then you don't meet for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. The game board is up. It's there. Everybody sees it. You don't walk by without saying, oh, geez, I forgot. Okay, I got to do this.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the folders. And people say, well, I can do the folders electronically. Yeah, but will it have the impact that the folders have, the visibility? No. Okay, it's weird, but the folders being there and visible means you're in a process and you can't let it go. Nobody lets go of the supernova once they start it, as long as they use the folders. So you're never going to get out of sync with this process as long as the game board's up and somebody's monitoring it. And just like, it's really the job of the CSA, to run the game board and make sure the meetings are happening. And that's what you do. Just like you turn over your folders and the scheduling of appointments to your associate, that way it goes because that's their job, right? So his or her job, that's their job. So you make it their job. Your job is to make sure we go to that meeting on Monday morning. Okay, that's it. Then it'll happen. If you don't, and you're responsible, it won't happen. Because you'll figure out something else to do. Like Dave's not here today, right? He's got something else to do.
These are good reminders, though, Rob, because, like I said, you know, it's just focus and getting back on. You know, we're doing this, but sometimes it's almost like, you know, it's reflective of stepping back and seeing what, you know, and not getting caught up in the day-to-day, because, you know, again, the headlines now, I mean, just, and I guess I'm more sensitive to this, that one client did leave, but it's going to be there. So what we're proactively doing is setting up meetings with all the accountants in our network so that we can, you know, go out and talk to them, just, you know, and tell them what we do, how we do it, introduce Dave even to them in a more formal way, and getting out in front.
Right, and you guys are, you know, you're more aggressive than you admit, okay, in terms of letting people know that you're still open for business, you know.
Yeah.
You mention it. I mean, you're not shy. Remember the idea too. This is a really good idea, especially where you guys have had lived off of introductions and people do refer you, and you've got ambassadors that are out there love you and want to refer business to you. Remember that idea of calling on the day of the day they open. You got two dates, right? So in your folder, you got the two dates. One is the date they introduced you, and the second date is the date that you opened the account. So are you doing that?
We just talked about it though, maybe the last week or two, and I told Margaret we're going to start to, you know, just get those, go through our top 20 anyway, to start with that, to get those dates on there.
Yeah, so there's another way of thanking people, right, and creating that bond. You remembered that I opened the account 2 years ago at this date. And so what that makes them do then is say, I've got another guy for you. Right, the one that referred, the person that you opened the account appreciates the call. The person that you then call, the person that referred you and thanked them for the introduction, tell them how well things are going, they go, I've got another guy for you. So this is your way of prospecting without asking for introductions. I mean, without asking for the business. You're prospecting, or, you know, without asking for introductions. You're just calling to thank them, and they say, I've got another guy for you. And that will happen to you, Rick, because of your relationships are so good. It won't happen to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But it will happen to a guy that's earned it over time and has these kind of solid relationships. So, Emily, this is a really good idea. And implemented across the country or your region or your market, it would be very powerful. Because it's something for everybody to do, you know.
Yeah.
Something for everybody to do every day is call a couple of anniversary people. And a couple of centers of influence that, you know, on that anniversary. Just a way of building in a regular networking model.
I'll just close on one, Rob, because it didn't start with you. It started before. I was doing a different coaching session, and, you know, it was about what are you doing for your clients and, you know, as far as appreciation or anything else like that. And I said, so we did I started doing it at the holiday party. And, you know, the first one I did, I was like, you know, is anybody going to show up? Do I want my clients talking to each other?
Right.
So anyway, long story short, it's been at least 10 years now, and it really is becoming, it is the go-to Christmas party in our area. We actually do it in our, we have a very unique building, so we do it there in our lobby. We have a second floor balcony. I get the local high school choir to come, and they sing. They do their holiday, you know, performance there. And they don't do public, they don't do private events
mm-hmm.
because they're school. But because my daughter would happen to be in the choir, I got to know the choir. So I contribute to them every year, and they look forward to coming back every year. But every time we bring more, you know, so the Centers of Influence, so I paper it off because I still want to call it an appreciation.
Yeah.
And, it's become great. So it's already on the calendar. Everyone looks forward to it. Now, Emily has seen it the last couple of years now. And last year we brought Ted, and he, you know, it's really, really become something that, but if I wasn't prodded to do it,
yeah.
Challenged, you know, just like you're doing, you're challenging us. And it never would have, but it far exceeded my expectations, and now it's really the go-to. So,
all right, here's a good idea for you. Okay,
yeah.
You ready? You make up name tags, right? Nice name tags. And on the underneath the name, Rob Knapp, you put ambassador.
Ah.
Okay. And people say, what's the ambassador? Oh, well, that's just simply any, you know, I've introduced Rick to a number of different people in the community.
That's pretty cool. What are you here to? Just to my clients? Or just to tell people? I mean, everybody that shows up?
Anybody in the group that has introduced you to someone
and it's
turned into a client, they become an ambassador. Here's one of the ways to make it even more current is anybody in the last 12 months. So maybe you go, you know, anybody that's introduced you anytime is an ambassador.
Right.
But a person that is a, maybe you put a star after it. And that means that they've done it in the last 12 months.
Cool. So that's the stuff we'll talk about it before, because again, to make that more, I like this idea, but just it's become a great. I mean, it's a great branding for me. It's been everyone loves it. They look forward to coming to it. But we kick it around. We'll talk about that before again, just to make it, you know, something else that we can make it more, just like a, you know, my tennis events and everything else like that that are pretty cool. This one has become cool, but I take it up higher too.
We used to have something called the Masters at Merrill Lynch, and every year that you made the Masters trip and went to Europe, they would put your name, and underneath it, they'd have a star.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when, you know, we won it 5 years in a row, you looked like an admiral, you know. Just think about it, right? So you put a star, put ambassador. You put their name ambassador, and then you put a star, and then every year that they introduce you to someone during that year, you give them a star.
Right.
And after 5 years, you got people with five stars. Just think how silly that is. A simple idea. You know what? I would never lose any of my players. Right? I had 8 players on that trip out of 125. Financial advisors. I had 8 of them on that. Probabilities of you getting 8 people in your region. By the way, 5 of them were from my office. Okay?
Wow.
And had they kept it up the way they were, I would have had 12 and then 14. And then my goal, of course, was to have all 125. But so you know, just think of people will do weird things for a little bit of recognition. People that are, just think about your competitive friends. How'd you get that star? What does that mean? They're going to want it. They're going to get it like this.
True.
They're not going to be at that party unless they've given you an introduction. I swear to God. I wouldn't.
Anyway, well, Rob, this is good. I enjoyed it. Again, always timely, and these are good things to walk through. And I'm glad, you know, because generally we have these discussions. I mean, and I think as a firm, even we have to continue to, you know, this is a war.
Yeah.
So we got to continue to stay on top of it. But my whole thing. I keep coming back. Trust, do the right thing, relationship. Boom.
Right. Right, and what greater gift can you give to somebody than an introduction to somebody that makes their life better?
Exactly.
So that's your theme. Give. And
give
it. Say
I love
yourself,
that. That's
know.
All in with me. Yeah. It ties in with me. I enjoy that.
I know it is. I know it does. I mean, that's why we, you know, when I was thinking of you and you were thinking of me, I called and you said, you know, I know this sounds weird, but I was just talking about it. I was just thinking about you. You know,
I know. It was meant to be, Rob.
We both were looking for something, and we found it in each other. So it was great.
I love
okay.
it.
Okay, so I think this can be helpful, Emily. If you need some help doing this on a grander scale, happy to come and visit and give us give a little pep talk. Just let me know when that would work out for both of us, and I think that would be a great way to start the year.
Absolutely. I was even thinking, I know it's crazy, but we're starting to think about our market level kickoff for 2019.
Right.
And yep. I'd love to talk to Ted and Danny Watson, who's our assistant market head. I just think some of these messages align so much with the firm,
exactly.
with Ted's vision, with my vision.
Right.
So let me run it by them, and we can look at some dates.
Great. Look forward to it. Okay.
All right. Thanks,
so
Rob.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.